There's not one thing happening in the world today that Jesus hasn't addressed and given us power and authority over. All of the issues we find in culture, Jesus gave us the power to influence. The problem is, the church has become more of a subculture than a counterculture because we have no understanding of the kingdom. In this series, Training for Reigning, we're going to look in depth at the gift that we've been given through the finished work of the cross to reign over life instead of life reigning over us.
It's just the state of the art.
And welcome to the third week of our series, Training for Reigning. I want to welcome everybody here in person and everybody tuning in online. Grab your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. While you're going there, let me say that in this series, we are looking in depth at the amazing gift we have been given through the finished work of the cross to reign over life instead of life reigning over us. And when we reign in life, we reign over sin, we reign over destructive habits, we reign over sickness, we reign over disease, we reign over poverty and lack. In other words, we reign over anything that holds us back from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. And if I've got anybody here today that's thankful for abundant life, you ought to clap your hands and give God praise. Come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Take one of your hands, set it on your heart. I want you to say it out loud with all you got. Come on, say eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess all the good things Christ has already provided for me. Now, week one of this series, we discussed who we are. We talked about the characteristics of a king. We looked at the head of a king. We looked at the heart of a king. We looked at the hands of a king. Week two, we looked at what we have as kings. Christ has given us some tremendous gifts. And so we looked at designated power. We looked at delegated authority. And we looked at demonstrated dominion. And if you have missed any of this series, church, I would encourage you, please go back, use the Calvary Church app, use the Calvary Church website. And check it out. You don't want to miss any of this series. Today we want to study how to use what we have. Who we are, what we have, how to use what we have. I thought that next week we would finish this series, but I got to tell you, church, I'm going one more week. I can't stop. I kind of see today's teaching like a dinner table. Beautifully set and filled from one end to the other with wonderful new covenant truths that I really believe you are going to enjoy, and I have prepared it just for you. And as Jesus invited his disciples in John 21, I now invite you. He said, come and dine if you are ready to eat. Somebody say yes. Check out our theme verse. Are you there? Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 4. The word of a king is authoritative and powerful. The word of a king is authoritative and powerful. Church, during this series, I hope you've realized that God has a good plan for your life. The fact of the matter is, he had a dream and wrapped your body around it. I told you that he sent you here to earth on assignment. He has something for you to do for him. As a matter of fact, church, he has something for us to do corporately for him. You're exactly what he needs, and you are perfectly suited for the task. As a matter of fact, I want you to know today, you are not a mistake. You ought to smile when I say that. You are not a blunder. You are not an accident. Thank God you are not a whoop. There it is. Come on. Your mission isn't impossible. It is the plan, it is the will of God for your life. As a matter of fact, it is your destiny, and I'm going to say it again, it is good. God does not want you, church, to live in fear or let it hold you back from your destiny. His will is for you to walk forward. And what have I taught you in this series? You walk forward in authority and in power as a king, confident in his love, trusting him. The Bible says to order your steps. Order every one of your steps along the way. The Bible says the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. And during this series, we've even talked about an enemy. And he will do everything he can to stop you from walking in God's good plan. Deception is the tool he uses. And anytime you're making progress, anytime you are moving forward in God's will for your life, this enemy will try to come against you with fear to drive you backwards. 1 John 4:18 says, fear involves torment. And this enemy torments you with what? Again, lies, because he doesn't want you to know what we have been studying in this series. He doesn't want you to know who you truly are and what you truly have and how to use what you have. You are a king, not a beggar. Let me try that again. Wake up, church. You are kings, you are not beggars. Let me try that again. You are kings, you are not beggars. You walk in authority and power. You do not walk in lack and longing. You want me to keep going? You are the head, not the tail. You are above, not beneath. You are blessed and you are not cursed. And if you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Again, one of the enemy's greatest tactics is what? To bring fear and try to prevent you from making progress. And did you know you can actually block your own destiny when you allow fear to grow bigger than faith? The enemy wants you to fear your current circumstances. The enemy wants you to fear what other people think. He wants you to focus on all of the what ifs. What if I fail? What if I make a fool of myself? What if I didn't hear from God? What if others disapprove of me? What if they talk about me? What if my reputation suffers? What if I get fired? What if I go broke? What if I get sick and die? And on and on and on. And all of us will periodically come to these crossroads in our lives, places where we must move forward despite our fears. Because if we wait for the feelings of fear to subside, we will never move forward. We won't reign in life. Life will reign over us. However, and this is a word for such a time as this, if we will trust God, if we will trust the gospel, if we will move forward step by step, church, we can learn to face our fears, and the Spirit of God says we will enjoy new levels of freedom. We can mature in our understanding of the authority and power that we have been given in Christ and learn how to use it every day. I want you to remember this truth right here, church. You can't always control the feeling of fear, but you can keep it from controlling you. You can't always control the feeling of fear, but you can keep it from controlling you. And during life's moments when there are no answers or when unexpected change occurs, and we're in a moment like that right now, I think there's a shaking going on in our culture. There's a shaking going on in the church. People's loyalties are in question. The fact of the matter is, these are challenging but glorious times. And I'll tell you this, when the shaking is over, the kingdom of God will stand. But I am learning to not live in moments like this, not live by only my feelings. Yes, I am created in the image of God. I'm not only spiritual, I am emotional. My feelings are real. Watch, your feelings are real. They aren't always right. And with God's help, I'm learning to face fear head on, even when I'm shaken in my boots, and move forward in faith. When fear strikes, many times our first inclination is what? We want to run away. We want to go back. And that's when God is saying, and I hear the Spirit of God today saying this to you. As a matter of fact, church, lift up your hands and lift up your head, and may you hear the Spirit of God declaring over you, fear not, my child. Don't stop now. Keep moving forward in authority and power. You are righteous royalty. You are kings. You reign in life. Life does not reign over you. And if I got a church that believes it, clap your hands and give God praise. And at least 100 of you say, thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, take your hand, set it on your belly, and be reminded, God has not given you a spirit of fear. The Living Bible says it this way, for the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. The Lord has defeated the enemy through his what? Death. And resurrection. You co-died. You were co-raised with him. Now you co-reign with him, with the Lord in your heart and the Spirit guiding you step by step. I declare over you, there's a whole lot of prophetic in this word today. I declare over you that your future is bright. The Bible says that the path of the righteous is like the dawn of day that only shines brighter and brighter. As a matter of fact, some of you need to start wearing your sunglasses. Why? Because I declare your future is bright. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. You're righteous royalty. You reign in life as kings. Matter of fact, lift up one of your hands, say it out loud. Say, I reign in life. Yeah. You believe it? So whenever we find ourselves now in a position of fear, doubt, disbelief, my goodness, this stuff attempts to overwhelm us. We have got to recognize that I talked about this last week, we have the ability to overcome. How? How? It's right there in our key verse. This is an important word today. It's right here in our key verse. The word of a king is authoritative and powerful. The key is, watch, the use of our words. That's how we use what we have. Did you know the words you say can alter the outcome of your situation? And in fact, it will set the direction of your life. My wife and I were talking yesterday while we were on our morning walk, and we were saying, my goodness, how important is it that we listen to the things we're saying? We're setting the direction for our life. The Bible tells us very plainly how our tongues and the words we speak can open the door to evil or good in our lives. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you hear that? There are two sides to this verse. Words can produce death, which is why it's sometimes best you just stay silent, but they can also produce life. Bad and good fruit are produced when we speak, and we will eat the fruit of it. As a believer, every word you utter has tremendous power. With your tongue, you can choose to build or destroy. Build or destroy dreams. Heal or break the spirit. Bring delight or despair. Bless or curse. With your tongue, Some of you wonder why you've been hung in life. You've been hung by your own tongue. And we see this principle in action in so many instances in the Bible. I don't have time to teach on all this, but just a couple of examples. Before they received their miracle child, God changed the names of a childless couple, Abram and Sarai, to Abraham, which means father of many nations, and Sarah, which means princess, just before he told Abraham that from them would come a multitude of nations, kings. But how is this going to happen when Sarah was barren? It happened with the name change. From then on, look at this, father of many nations was how Abraham introduced himself. Had no nations, but he said, I'm the father of many nations. Every time he said his name, and Sarah would say the same thing when she called out to Abraham and spoke about him, and Abraham would call out princess every time he called her name. And somewhere along the way, Sarah experienced renewal of youth, and her barren womb was resurrected with divine life. And this couple, one 100 years old and the other 90 and barren from her youth, the Bible said, conceived the miracle child that God had promised them. What a powerful demonstration of the power of words in just speaking the name. And that's not all. I thought about the Gospels. Jesus, the King, shows us how it is through our words that we can bring the power of God into our situations of whatever sickness. I talked about situations last week. You reign over every situation, sickness, adversity, even death. He cursed the fig tree, the Bible says, and it withered. He spoke to the wind and waves, and they were stilled. He spoke to sickness, and people were healed. He spoke life, and people were raised from the dead. And today, what I want you to see is this, church: the power to change circumstances lies within your mouth. I want you to know how to use what you have. The power to change circumstances lies in your mouth. And most people believe that, you know, we say what we see. But in the kingdom, again, this is a kingdom series. In the kingdom, we must realize, nah, we see what we say. Let me give you an example. God says, watch, we are holy and blameless in His sight. Notice Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. God says we are holy and we are blameless in His sight. Notice God didn't ask you, are you holy and blameless in your sight? Why didn't he say that? Because seldom do we see ourselves the way he sees us. He says, you are holy and you are blameless in my sight. And how many of you are glad he's the only one that counts? Oh, you can hear all kind of stuff from crazy people and think, well, what they say counts. No, there's only one. What he says counts. And did you know you experience victory when you start agreeing with how God sees you? Oh, God, stop debating him, church. Well, I know how you see me, but I know what the word says, but just agree with how he sees you. Okay, you see me as holy. You see me as blameless. You see me as righteous. Thank you. I am holy. I am blameless. I am righteous. Can I tell you, you will be surprised at what happens to you. Because see, here's what I've realized. People who don't have a revelation of the kingdom, most people want a confirmation of God's truth first. And then they'll be willing to open up their mouth and confess it. They want seen and temporary evidence. Y'all, that's the way the world works. The world says you act holy, you act righteous, you act blameless, and then we'll call you holy, righteous, and blameless. But God says you are holy, you are righteous, you are blameless, you believe it, and I'll bring forth in the seen and the temporary. He's saying you affirm it and I'll confirm it. Are y'all getting this? And every time there's doubt, and believe me, there will be doubt. Every time there's doubt about that affirmation, what do? You stand up, kings, and you start repeating it, and you say it. You repeat affirming what God has already confirmed to you. Some days I have to look in the mirror, and I got to say, I know I don't look like it, but that's exactly what I am. I know I don't feel like it, but that's exactly what I am. I know some days I don't even think like it, but that's exactly what I am. Let the redeemed of the Lord open up their mouths and say so. If you are weak, stand up and declare, in my spirit I am strong. If you are poor, stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, he became poverty so that I could be rich. If you are defeated, open up your mouth and say, in Jesus' name, I am victorious. If you are sick, open up your mouth and say, I am healed. Lift up your hands. I declare over you. You say, I don't feel it, but I prophesy over you. You are a saint. You're a trophy of Christ's victory. You are a child of God. You're the apple of your Father's eye. You are righteous. You are healed. You are hidden in Christ. You are loved. You are highly favored. You are bona fide. You are qualified. You are anointed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You're the devil's worst nightmare. You're a king. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Like, is that all you got? I said, open up your mouth and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't touch nobody. Just look at him. Say, he's talking about me. Go. Hallelujah. I know it's 9 o'clock. I know it's a 9 o'clock worship experience. I didn't know y'all acted like that. I thought that was only 11 o'clock. Are y'all getting this? If there truly is power and authority in the words of a king, then we have a tremendous responsibility to steward those words with great intentionality. It is paramount that we make sure that what we are saying is in line with what the Father is saying. And Jesus understood this, which is why he said in John 8:32, he said this, I only say what the Father says. This is not only an example for us, but it shows us the importance right here of this principle. Jesus wasn't the only one who taught this principle. The Apostle Paul also wrote it in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Look what he wrote. Here we are then speaking for Christ as though God himself were making his appeal through us. Other translations say we're ambassadors of Christ. You probably never thought about yourself as being an ambassador before, but what exactly is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who's sent to represent one country, one government, one kingdom to another. And while in that other country, the ambassador presents, demonstrates all the best that his home country or government or kingdom has to offer. And when you receive the life of Christ, you become what? An ambassador, a member of the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says that you're at that moment translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. So the rest of your time here on earth, you're not just here for your own plans and your own interests, but you are representing heaven to those around you. Everywhere you go, you don't bring confusion. You bring righteousness. You don't bring conflict. You bring peace. You bring joy. As a matter of fact, you're the only real sample of heaven most will ever see. And what they'll know about God's working in people's lives, they'll get from watching your life. My goodness, some of you going, that's pretty scary. Well, maybe. On the other hand, it means you're not limited to your own resources, because you aren't out there representing yourself. Since you're representing God's government and His abilities, you have access to the best of all that He has to offer. Remember, your whole mission is what? To represent Jesus and His kingdom to everyone you encounter. We say it like this at Calvary: everyone, every day, everywhere. So in truth, whenever we speak, it's as if God is speaking through us. Do you see why your words are so important? Our words are given assignments. So this makes it critical to make sure that what we are saying is what God has said. Let me say it like this. If our words have assignment, then they must also have alignment. Aligning our words with God's word, aligning our words with God's truth, aligning our words with God's promises is what truly gives our words power. So, I don't even know if I'm going to have time this week. But with this understanding, we see that we don't just speak like a king. Watch this. We're supposed to speak like the king. So what does the king say? Glad you asked. Let's look at God's word. In fact, let me give you just a few things that the words of the king do when spoken. Write it down. App, notes. Come on, here it is. One, watch. Lead to life. Lead to life. Write it down. When we speak words of the King, they lead to life. Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus explains to us that His words brought life to those who had ears to hear them. What Jesus was saying was that the words which He spoke into the natural realm originated from the spiritual realm and were able to quicken or make alive unto God. So Jesus, as the Word of God, He's called the Word of God made flesh, was able to perform great and mighty works by the Holy Spirit which dwelt in Him. In effect, Jesus personified in human form the very life-giving words of God to humanity. Y'all, that's why He's called the Word. Jesus is the logic of God. He's called the Word. God had some things on His mind. You'll never know what's on my mind unless I speak, unless I give you a word. Jesus is called the Word. Why? Because when you see Jesus, you know what's been on God's mind. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. That's what's on His mind. That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with challenges because the enemy comes. I know, let me tell you something, steal and kill and destroy. That's what He does. However, in the same way that Jesus overcame the enemy while He was in His earthly body, so we are overcomers in this life. Can I tell you, life does not reign over you. You reign in life. Words. Words. The words of the King also. Don't you miss this. I'm speaking prophetically. Your words, watch, write it down. Silence storms. Listen to me. Some of you, you're not speaking kingdom language. Why? Because your words don't silence storm. Your words causes storms. Another result of the King's words is that storms, they get silenced. In Mark 4, Jesus and the disciples, they're in a boat together. Remember that? Having just left the multitudes, the Bible tells us that a furious storm comes up. Waves begin breaking over the boat. See, some of you, that's how you feel. Everything on the outside is getting on the inside. And the crazy thing about this story is that while this was going on, I love this, Jesus was asleep. At rest. There He is at the bottom of the boat. He's asleep while the storm's going on. And after surveying the situation, the scriptures tell us that the disciples, fearing, here they are afraid, they wake Jesus up and they shout at Him and say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And then we get to see the demonstrated dominion of the words of a king in verse 39. Look at this. "Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still,' and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." But it's what Jesus says next that clues me in on the power that we have access to. If you look at verse 40, what does it say? "But He said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm speaking to you. Why are you so fearful? Do you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, how is it that you guys don't understand the authority and power that I have given to you? He's trying to show them that in their mouths is the power to silence the storm. In other words, y'all, why did you wake me up? Watch, you could have silenced it yourself. Are y'all getting this? Now you may be thinking, hey pastor, well that's good to know in the event that, you know, there's some pending hurricane, you know, that's good, but it's not just physical storms that I'm talking about. I'm also talking about the storms of life. And the amazing thing about declaring peace be still to the storms of life is that we don't even have to understand what's going on. That's why the peace of God is called the peace that surpasses your understanding. Our words have power even when we don't understand what's going on. I want kings, throw up your hands right now, lift up your heads, and I want you to open up your mouth and say it out loud. Say, peace. I can't hear you, church. Say, peace. Be still. Try it again. Say, peace. Be still. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. Wake up, church. The third blessing attached to the words of a king is this. This is important. They edify others. The words we speak aren't just for our benefit. They're also for those around us. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:29, listen to this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Our words, Pastor Kareem, imparts grace. Grace. Our words can have great impact on others. And this revelation isn't just recognized in the kingdom. My goodness, the world even has latched onto the power of words. I mean, this principle can be found in parenting books and leadership seminars and secular articles. I mean, there's no doubt the effect that our words can have on people. But research and the Bible also tells us that this principle works both ways, just like the positive activity that can be produced from the healthy words we speak to others. Negativity can be the product of speaking detrimentally to others. And in the era that we live in, the era of social media, where everybody has a platform for words, everybody has a megaphone, everybody has something crazy to say, as ambassadors of the kingdom, it is our responsibility to recognize the importance of using our words, church, to build up others, to impart grace. That's what a good king does with his words, and that's what the king does with his words. The next thing that our words are designed to do, this is important. These last two, I want to speak prophetically. Woo! Our words, write it down, manifest miracles. Our words manifest miracles. And we know of the countless stories given to us in the Gospels of Jesus displaying the supernatural power of the kingdom. Every one of these accounts are accompanied with words that Jesus spoke. Blind eyes opened, it was a word. Lame bodies healed, it was a word. Evil spirits cast out, it was a word. Long-term hemorrhaging was stopped. It was a word. But perhaps the most incredible display of the power of Jesus was shown, and I love this story, it's the resurrection of his friend Lazarus. And in John 11, we read the story of Jesus getting word that his friend Lazarus was sick. And that sickness led to death in Lazarus's case, and his loved ones had him buried in a tomb, and then days later, I think it was like 4 days later after his death, Jesus shows up. He's already dead, but here comes Jesus. Jesus, why are you late? He's not late. He shows up on the scene, has a conversation with Lazarus' sister, Martha. And while standing among these mourners, Jesus attempts to comfort Martha and assures her that her brother will rise again. And then she misinterprets Jesus' statement. And then Jesus brings enlightenment when he states in verses 25 and 26, look at this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then a few verses later, we see Jesus show up to the tomb when Lazarus had been buried, and he instructs those who were there, you better remove the stone. And then in verse 43 and 44, Jesus makes a decree that changes everything. He cried out, look at this, with a loud voice, Lazarus, you better come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, you better loose him and let him go. Let me tell you something, church. The words of a king contain the power to manifest miracles. And I don't know. I want to speak prophetically over some of you right now. I do not know what dead things you have in your life right now. A dead marriage, a dead dream, a dead business, a lifeless situation. But I want to encourage you. Lift up your hands, kings. You open up your mouth and you start speaking the words of the king. And I speak prophetically. You better open up your eyes and watch the resurrection power of God start manifesting in your situation. I'm going to say it again. The words of the king are authoritative and powerful. And if you believe it, clap your hands, open up your mouth, and somebody just holler, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just give you this last one right here, because are we having communion today? Oh, I can't wait. We're gathered around the Lord's table. We're gathering around the king's table. The kings, the king of many kings, the kings are gathering around the king's table. The last thing I want to say is this. The words of a king, watch this, frame your future. In Romans 4:17, Paul tells us that the words of the king calls things that are not as though they were. In other words, those words contain the power to frame your future, to literally speak into existence God's will for your life. The words of a king aren't just meant to be descriptive, but rather prescriptive. In other words, their power is found in what we declare by faith, not in saying what we see, but in seeing what we say. And Psalm 37:4 tells us that God places his desires where? His desires are in your new heart. And then Proverbs 4:23, don't you miss this, tells us what? You better guard your garden. You better guard your heart. Church, you better hear me today. The issues of your life aren't the stuff out here, aren't the people out here, aren't the things going on out here. The real issue is right here in your heart. That's why I teach our staff, we better guard our hearts, because out of your heart flow the issues of your life. Out of your heart flow the issues of your life. So when we speak from the king's perspective, watch, our words reveal not just what's in our heart, watch, it reveals what's in God's heart. So we frame our future in faith rather than framing our future in fear. Wow. Did you know we're self-fulfilling prophets that get the opportunity with our words to determine whether we are aligning ourselves with God's promises or the enemy's plan? Let me tell you something. God's plan is always to prosper us. You are to be led along a good road. Your health, your family, your mind, your business, your life. The enemy's plan is to paralyze you with fear. But we can shut down the enemy and frame our future in faith by what? Declaring and decreeing what God says about us. His plans for us are good and filled with purpose and filled with promise. Can I tell you, church, that speaking like this focuses on our Father rather than on our problem. Some of you, let me tell you, you're focused on everything else. Some of you are focused on fear. Fear is always the result of broken focus and broken communion with God. Did you know that fear is actually faith in reverse? Fear is faith in the wrong kingdom. And if there's anything positive about fear, it would be that fear is actually faith focused on the wrong things. Fear is what? Meditating on the wrong things. Speaking the wrong things. With the eye of faith, seeing the wrong things, and then acting as if those things were true. Did you know there are people right now making crazy decisions? And they're making decisions out of fear. Making crazy decisions for their life. And they're just making it out of fear. When we've heard bad news, there is a battle between what? Well, what am I going to trust? And the Bible says we strive to enter God's rest. Can I tell you the best thing to do with your fears, the Bible says, is to cast them on the Lord. You fortify your mind by declaring God's promises to yourself and to your mountains. I want to speak prophetically over Calvary Church and all of our locations. I do not know about everybody else, but I know about this house. If I'm talking to you in person or even online, lift up your hands and lift up your head. I declare, fortify your mind. By declaring God's promises to yourself and to your mountains in the name of Jesus. I prophesy it is time for you to turn your fears around. I declare, let God's word be the source of your thoughts. Let God's word be the source of your words. Let God's word be the source of your actions. You were created to believe God. It's time for you to focus your thoughts. Focus your thoughts. You are a king, so speak words of life rather than words of death. Look beyond, church, the temporal realm into the eternal realm and begin to see what God knows to be true about you. I declare over you, you are a king. Your words have power, and the Spirit of God says it's time for you to speak them in the name of Jesus. You are a king. Your words have power, and it's time for you to speak them. Lift up your hands, say it in Jesus' name. Say, I am a king. My words have power. I will speak them. Try it again. Say, I am a king. My words have power. I will speak them. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. Is that all you got? Clap your hands and give God praise. D, you and your man stand up real quick. Take hands and lift up your hands. Lift them up. I feel like I want to speak over some of you today. In Christ, I declare over you, you are safe in His hands and nothing can take you away. I declare over you, you are secure in His grace, and nothing can separate you. I declare over you, you are sealed by His Spirit, and nothing can remove you from His presence. You cannot be touched by the evil one. You rest and let God do the work. I hear the Spirit of God even saying now, Hey, this battle isn't yours. It's mine. It's mine. This battle isn't yours. It's mine. I declare it over you in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. For the next 15 seconds, just lift up your hands and just begin to thank Him right now. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, 15 seconds, just begin to thank Him. Open up your mouth. Hey! I want to talk to those of you that have been battling. I'm telling you, battling when it comes to fear. When I count to three, if I'm talking to you, don't you dare wait. You jump to your feet and lift up your hands. You're about to be set free. One, two, three. Jump to your feet right now. Lift up your hands right now. Lift them up high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift them up high. I declare over every one of you with hands lifted, standing right now, that answers will be made known to you through Christ. You aren't alone. As a matter of fact, he says, I have steps, I have strategies, I have plans. I have creativity, I have clarity, I have focus. Hear the Spirit of God. He says a true turnaround begins first in your mind. You can't have a victim mentality and the mind of Christ. I declare over you a reminder today, you have the mind of Christ. No more fear. You will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm talking to some of you that have been so restless and not at rest. That's the gospel. At rest. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You cannot be God inside-minded. You cannot be God inside-minded without being a victor. I declare over you, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Today, watch, your thoughts will not push you around. You will begin to push your thoughts around. Your thoughts will not push you around. You will begin to push them around. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Today, you use the name of Jesus with a fearlessness that startles hell and blesses humanity. I want every one of you with uplifted hands, say it out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus. Say it out loud so I can hear you. Say, in the name of Jesus. Fear, go. Fear, go. Say, I stand in faith as the righteousness of God. Now for the next 30 seconds, every one of you, lift your hands and just begin to thank him. Fear goes in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God says it's time for many of you to begin lifting up your hand and talk back to it. Stop letting it talk to you. Stop letting it talk to your marriage. Talk to your money. You turn around, stand up, and talk back. Thank you, Jesus. You only experience contentment, heart healing, peace of mind, freedom, relational restoration. I'm even going to declare this, debt cancellation. In the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. Say, I'm free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it out loud. Say, I'm free. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on.
I'm not just talking to her, I'm talking through her. If you want it too, say, that's mine. That's mine too. That's mine too. You two, take hands. Lift them up high. Hallelujah. You're never going back to where you were before. You're never going back to where you were before. You're never going back to where you were before. You two better start singing that over yourselves at your house. Never going back to where I was before. Oh yeah. Never going back where I was before. Never going back to where I was before. Never going back to where I was before. Never going back to where you were before. Never going back where you were before. Whatever defined you before defines you no more. Whatever defined you before defines you no more. Lift up your hands. You're a child of God. You are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. You have boldness. You make requests to the Father. He hears you every time. You obtain the request you ask of him. No more victim thinking. You're never going back to where you were before. There's something on this. Every one of you, lift it up, make it personal. Say, I'm never, never going back. Can't hear you, church. Open it up. Say it. I'm never. Lift those hands. Say it out loud. If I was living in fear, I'm not going back. Say it loud. I want to hear you, church. I want to hear. Open it up. Talk like a king. I don't care what you see around you right now in the natural. Say it. Three more times. Lift it up. The words of a king have power. Say it. Let me hear the people. Say it. Woo. Say it. Just one more time. It feels good today. Say it. What are you going to remind yourself this week and sing over yourself? and give God praise right now. Come on. Come on, give him praise like you believe it today. Come on. Is there anybody here? Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise right now. I want to hear some kings. Open up your mouth and give him praise. I want to hear some kings. Open up your mouth and give him praise right now. I want to hear some kings.
Hey, welcome to Calvary. Whether this is your first time or first time in a long time, we want to say welcome home, and we encourage you to pull out your phone right now. There are so many great things happening here at Calvary. Make sure to stay in the know by downloading the Calvary app. There you can give, check out past messages, or connect to a gospel circle. Also, make sure that you follow us on social media at Calvary Church CC to get daily encouragement and be reminded of who you are in Christ. Lastly, follow our pastors on social media, Pastors Ben and Kim Daly. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you online. Never go.
Powerful message about what God has freely given us in Christ. If you were blessed by this time of ministry, let us know by emailing us at online@calvarychurch.cc. Now, before we dismiss, let us gather around the King's table boldly and be reminded of our victory in the finished work of Jesus through communion. As we take communion today, let us remember the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf by dwelling on his body and blood that brought us love, life, and salvation. So do me a favor right where you're at. Take the bread. This bread represents the body of Christ in that it was broken to bring us wholeness, healing, and health. You may take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Now take the juice. This juice represents the blood of Christ that was spilt to bring us forgiveness, freedom, and life. Right where you're at, take the juice. Now, we can't do what we do without the generosity of you and the Calvary family. So thank you so much for your generosity. It's not too late to give on the app towards the mission and vision of Calvary to declare the gospel. You can give on the app or at calvarychurch.cc. Now, before we get out of here, I want to pray for you and where you're at. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body. We thank you, Father, we're righteous and holy, and we reign in you, Christ Jesus, that you've given us authority and dominion and power, God, that we reign over life and life does not reign over us, God. So everyone watching, I just speak a blessing over them, Father. May they be empowered, God, by your goodness this week. And I thank you for favor over them, blessings over them. I thank you for increase over their lives, Father, harmony in their marriages and family, God. I thank you, Father, for health in their body and protection over their future. And I pray a blessing over them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, church. Well, truly enjoyed worshiping with you today, and we look forward to worshiping with you next Sunday in person at one of our Calvary locations. Love you, church, and see you next week.
We encourage you to live generously and give generously. You can do that right there, online on our app by searching and downloading Calvary Church CC. You can give on our website, or you can text to give by texting Calvary IRV, followed by the amount to 77977. And I encourage you to set up your recurring giving. Calvary, let's remain consistent and faithful in the face of inconsistency.